Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the offices of Eloquent Online here in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And after a two-week absence, we're happy to welcome back to the air the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, your friend and mine, Mr. Troy Hall.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that warm audience. Welcome. It's great to be back with you, Jason. I'd just like to say hello from beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains, the sun still shines.
You know that's right. I want to start by thanking Tina K. Hall, no relation, except in ultimate coolness, to Troy, who came and sat in on the show for 2 weeks. I appreciate that. I want to thank the audience, again, up over 300 archive listens last week. And I want to thank the staff out at Mountain America Credit Union in beautiful Salt Lake City. Nick and I were up there yesterday, and Marshall Papke and Gene Erickson, just great hosts, great hospitality. And my thought was, Troy, as I was flying back on the plane, it's that Mountain America is an organization of great people and great ideas and limitless innovation who happen to be a credit union. But they would be a great organization if they made skateboards or Foreman grills or anything. And it was really great being out there with them. And if you've never had a chance to get out to beautiful Salt Lake City, it's a must-see spot here in, across the fruit and out in the beautiful American West. So I'm so glad to have you back, Troy. It was kind of like Christmas time. I missed you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And but I have to tell you, there was being away for the trip and going out there to Vegas and doing that presentation and speaking to credit union professionals always energizes me, just like this show. And I'm really excited about today. You know, it's our last Friday of the month, and so there's some special stuff happening in that regard. And then I think you and I are just going to banter a little bit today.
Lucky for the audience, we're going to be bantering. If it is the last Friday of the month and you're a fan of the show, as many of you are, you know that that can only mean one thing. Never change, never stop. You know her as the editrix of the CU Times, and we want to thank her very, very much, especially for joining us this Friday. She has got a very, very busy week coming up out there running the show at GAC. But as always, we're happy to welcome to the air on the last Friday of the month your friend and mine, Miss Sarah Cook. Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
I'm great, Jason. How are you? So good. Well, thank you for having me, sir.
We're always happy to have you, and the studio audience is on the money today. It's because Troy's back. The studio audience and I have a very contentious relationship right now, but now that Troy is back, I can tell by the look in their eyes. They know that their friend or mentor Troy is back, because they view me as kind of a tyrant, which is unfortunate, because before this, where were they? I mean, I rescued these people from obscurity and brought them on this national radio program, and yeah, they see they're giving me dirty looks right now. So I know you're busy. I know a lot of stuff is going on with GAC. My guess is you're staying super busy over this weekend and for the next week.
Oh, absolutely. It's always our biggest magazine of the year. We finished up our March 2nd edition yesterday, and it was well over 70 pages. I don't remember exactly how long it was. It's always a challenge to do something like that. And then, of course, we follow up with our on-site coverage next week, which is a lot of coordinating. In our March 2nd book that's going to be delivered at the GAC, we're also going to be announcing our great Credit Union Trailblazer Awards winners. So I'm sure everybody's just hanging in suspense to find out who we're going to name for our CEO of the Year, Volunteer of the Year, CFO of the Year. We've got 9 different awards. It's going to be a good reception, a good time.
So what say you, Sarah? Are you going to tell us who the award winners are?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, man. That's top secret classified until Monday when the magazine gets delivered. But we got some great choices. And this was the most applicants I think we've ever had for our awards. So really glad it's taking off. But it's making it harder for us to choose who really is, you know, deserving of the award, and we'd love to give everybody an award, of course. But
that's right. And as everybody, and of course, the speech that was created by the person who lost, everyone is a winner.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, it's again, it seems like we've been saying this for 2 years now. The marketplace has been a little crazy, a little scatological here. If there was a theme of the event this year at GAC that was kind of hanging on the heads and on the minds and on the tongues of everybody going up there, what would you say it is?
Oh, geez. I don't know if people in Washington want these people in Washington right now. I mean, there's just quite a few. Thank you. There's quite a few things going on in obviously the economic environment, but also the regulatory and legislative environment that are really not pleasing credit unions so much. If you're talking, you know, bigger picture, there's just announced that interchange hearing. Well, it's actually broader than that. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau hearing that's going to take place on Wednesday in the Financial Services Subcommittee on Financial Institutions. So I would say that is definitely going to be a topic of discussion, the CFPB and the interchange regulation, and can credit unions get that repealed or modified before it has to be finalized. And that just, you know, compounds the regular economic stress that credit unions are feeling. At the same time, you got all 3 NCUA board members that are going to be at the GAC speaking, and they just came out their rule with incentive pay, kind of curbing incentive pay for executives at credit unions over a certain size. And, you know, as with all of us, I'm sure, I imagine credit union executives are very concerned about where that regulation might be going. So I'm sure the NCUA board will get a earful about that. And CUNE always holds a particular reception just for everybody to meet the NCUA board members. So I'm sure people are going to be vocal at that time.
Yeah. Sarah, the impact of the GAC, you know, from an industry standpoint, you know, we put a lot of effort and energy toward the GAC and getting out there, and I know Jason's got his particular opinions about it and so forth, but, I mean, tell me, you know, what's something that you think that individuals can sink their teeth into this year with the GAC?
Well, you know, I think it's very important to have this kind of showing on Capitol Hill, just in general. And, yeah, if you see the caliber of speakers they have attracted, they do have the House Speaker, John Boehner, is going to be addressing the group, several other members of Congress. You've got Elizabeth Warren, who is setting up the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Obviously, all these people really see credit unions as an important player in the policymaking arena. And so, you know, I think, if anything, people need to really realize that their efforts do make a difference. Because, you know, it's funny because you mentioned Jason's point of view on GAC, and we actually ran a poll on our website this last week, which is, you know, it's not scientific, just a poll of our readers at cutimes.com. And what we found was 39% of our readers said no, they don't find a value in attending the GAC, whereas only 25% said yes, and 9% said some. Then another 25% said they don't attend the GAC. So just really, you know, grabbing hold of getting into Washington and grabbing hold of that feeling of, yes, I can make a difference, that Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of feeling.
Do you think that it's because that there's no longer a spontaneity that occurs within this GAC. It's now a show. It's now a staged event. And so the impact isn't nearly as powerful as it is when maybe it would have been first encountered. I mean, for me, I think sometimes what I find to be a little bit negative is the fact that I don't know that my voice really makes that much difference. I don't really know that when I meet with those senators on that walk the hill, and in many cases, some of them aren't even meeting us. It's just the mm-hmm. aides who might be taking a courtesy call. It's like, does that activity really garner the kind of effort that it takes in order to really make a difference? And if so, are they listening to anything that people are saying? I haven't run across one person yet who would have voted for the healthcare reform that we've done in this country, and yet it passed. So I don't understand. Who are we listening to?
Well, a lot of times, and this is in part what I wrote my column about this week, for example, the interchange bill, sometimes, you know, policy or politics takes precedence over substance. You know, credit unions now have some lawmakers who voted originally to add the interchange amendment to the Dodd-Frank bill, who are now changing their minds. Say, oh well, maybe this dual system really can't work in the free marketplace. So you know, you do have the pressure of politics when you got a senior member like Dick Durbin, or you know, President Obama trying to push through health care, and Nancy Pelosi. You know, sometimes politics does take precedence over the actual substance. But there again, it is your opportunity to make a mark. And you know, you mentioned that sometimes the senators or representatives don't even meet with credit union folks on the Hill, and the thing that's important about that is that meeting with the aides, oftentimes it's their subject matter expert on financial services, or it's, you know, somebody else like our chief of staff possibly, and they really help frame the members of Congress ideas, because you build that relationship with their staff, who is the subject matter expert, then that's what the member of Congress hears about as it goes up the chain.
Well, I really appreciate you taking some time today, Sarah. I know you're super busy. I always tell people this. I simply don't have the time or the resources to keep my eyes and ears around all the stuff that's going on legislatively. And I think, honestly, it's one of the strengths of your magazine, because if I do need to find out something, it's just a couple of clicks to your website, and I can generally find it. But speaking of the free market, when you do see those NCOA folks, you might want to remind them that in a free market, we don't tell people how much they can earn.
I'm with you on that. And by the way, since you mentioned our website,
the thing I'm worried about is if a top executive like Troy gets his salary curbed, he's going to ask me for a raise here, and that's just not going to happen.
It is radio free, right?
Radio, it's very free.
Yeah, very free.
Yeah, and actually, I just want to throw in a little plug here. You mentioned our website. We're actually going to launch a redesign of our website on Monday. So fingers crossed.
Right.
Woohoo!
Maybe.
Yeah.
And also, you guys have your 6th annual CU Times Leadership Award that people can go meet you and get to know you a little bit if they've heard you on the radio. It's fun. I met you out in New Jersey in October. It was a real treat. So we wish you safe travels. We wish you continued success, and we look forward to visiting with you next month. This is the last Friday of the month. You know it's Sarah says. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Troy.
You're welcome. Happy day.
Said Sarah, you're the poet in my heart. Never change. Never stop.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, where we were very happy to welcome back our good buddy Troy Hall, the Radio Free Air, as the co-host of our wonderful little show here. And if you were listening to our show last week, you may have noticed that we had some technical difficulties at the end. I must admit, that was all my fault. If you've ever wondered how the show works, I call into Skype through the Blog Talk Radio switchboard. And we lost Tina Hall last week. She lost her connection out in Seattle. And there's a little box that I can look to make sure that I'm still live. And when I pulled up that box, I noticed that I was still live and my mic was still hot when I went to minimize it, Roy, I hit the little big red button, which is probably why they made it red, which obviously disconnects the show. So
yeah, it has a big sign on it that says, do not touch, but yet everybody wants to touch it. Right?
Does. Well, it will get your attention. I mean, it's sort of like my favorite cookies, Chips Ahoy. They just redid their the cover of their cookies, and all they did was add a big red exclamation point at the end of Chips Ahoy. And like a shopping automaton, I saw it. I was like, oh, wow, red exclamation point. They must be even better.
Do you like the little chocolate chip bites by any chance?
No, I don't. And I don't like anything that has that 100-calorie crap attached to it. I mean,
well, not
cookie,
that. I mean,
not,
they make them the regular cookie, but they make them in a little bite size, and you put the little foil package in the refrigerator, and they are cold, and you have them with some milk. Oh, my goodness, that's great stuff. Okay, good.
A little bit of a culinary advice from our good buddy out in Charleston, South Carolina. Go out there and get your Chips Ahoy. We better get a royalty check from the people over at Nabisco at the end of this show. Hey, listen, the reason I brought up the technical difficulties we had on the show last week is I wanted to jump back to something from the first week that you were out. Just an observation, and you know what I try to do with the radio program and the spoken sessions that I do is find the teachable moments in everyday life. And as you can imagine, Troy, this was the Friday after the Super Bowl. I was still very, very disappointed in the result, and went with my I'm the treasurer of the Booster Club at my son's small private school here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And our 7th and 8th grade boys were in the Class 2 for smaller Lutheran schools. They were in the state championship, and they actually won the state championship.
Oh, cool.
And
cool.
It was great, and I got to experience that all year. I walked into a game earlier this year just to see what it was like, and there was nothing going on. So I walked on my iPad into the PA, started playing music before, during, and after the games, made up all these cool quick hits, introducing the players and stuff like that. And so I kind of immersed myself in the team, as I guess like we would call from the last war, kind of an embedded reporter, if you will. And I had some observations about these middle school students. I wrote up with three of them. Millennials, all of them. All three of them were 14 years old. One seventh grader, two eighth graders. And I'm always, when I see these cell phone commercials and they're saying, hey, you can download a movie in 1 minute and watch a movie, my reaction is always, I don't want to watch some movie on this tiny little iPhone screen. Troy, all three of those young people did exactly that on their way up to Austin.
Yeah.
All three of them.
And you know what that, do you know what that tells you?
That I'm old.
Yeah, you're not the demographic. And you know what? What you just said, though, is the classic teaching point for our listeners. You cannot make your marketing decisions based on your preferences unless you represent the demographic group you're making those decisions for.
Now the studio audience is just blatantly sucking up. I'm on the verge of dismissing them before the show is over because no, you're right. And I always tell people this, you know, I'm 43. I belong to the smallest generation in American history, Generation X. But I was interested in that because every one of them was watching a movie on their phone and they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to do that when they got in the car. They all had smartphones. All three of them had iPhones. I think one of them might have had an iPod Touch. But either way, he was watching a movie on it. But the other thing that I noticed that I thought was interesting for our listeners was that watching them, I always say this, when you market, and I know you guys at South Carolina do this very, very effectively with your Thursday Night Lights, you guys are there. You guys are at ground level, ground zero of Generation Next. When you reach one of these millennials, credit unions, please hear this. If you don't listen to anything else I've ever said before, you reach one millennial, you're actually reaching five or six of them. Because what I learned is that they have a small pod of friends, and everything is connected via text and phone call. I'm watching a movie. I'm writing up with Mr. Dias. We won our first game. We play tomorrow. And it's all the same people. And the only word I can keep coming up with is pods, these social pods that they self-segregate themselves into. And I thought that was kind of a fascinating observation.
It is.
As it pertains.
Well, that's the whole thing about like the social media aspect of it's all that relationship connecting, whether you call it by connecting by pods or connecting by community, and you have your conversation, your communications that are happening. And so you're right. I mean, if you think about it, it's the difference is that it is much far reaching and it is, and it happens faster because of the technology. But the behavior isn't any different than it was when we were growing up. We had our circle of friends that we dealt with. When something happened to Billy or Susie or Johnny, that whole group that may have known them knew about that. So it's really no different. It just sometimes it took longer. That's why we got in trouble passing notes in school, because we would be communicating with our little group, pass this note. I mean, that was that whole pod thing. Now we just do it virally, and we do it electronically, and sometimes you don't even know that it's happening, but it is in fact happening.
That's another good point. It's sort of like somebody pointed out to me that social networks aren't new, and he used the example of VFW. He said that was a social network for me back in the day with all of his, you know, Vietnam era buddies. They would hang out and chit chat, and that was a social network. We just didn't really call it that. So I guess the challenge for credit unions is, how do we effectively get our brand into this little pod? And what I noticed was they were not going to take a second. These guys were not going to take 1 minute to go visit anybody's Facebook page or fan page or anything like that. They were totally absorbed in what was going on, just like you and I were when we were 14 years old. All the things that we're supposed to be absorbed with and all the things we're not supposed to be absorbed with. And what I did notice, however, is after we won the championship, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings. And at Buffalo Wild Wings, they did have a promotion where if you uploaded a picture to their fan page or something like that, you could win a few wings. And the kids did do that.
That's great.
So I guess there's something to be said for wrapping that social experience into an actual event. Well, you and I have been a little busy working our keyboards this week. For those of you that heard the show a couple weeks back, Troy and I are going to start doing a point-counterpoint. We're not going to do it today because we don't have the music for it, but we did a point-counterpoint on Susie Orman, and Jeffrey Pilcher from the Financial Brand contacted us and said, hey, we'd like to put that in print. So do you recall when that might be running, Troy?
Well, I don't want to give away Jeffrey's time frame, but I think within the next week or so.
Well, and people that follow the Financial Brand the way I do, you know, it's not that it comes out on a particular day. You typically find out about it because somebody Twitters you, hey, did you see this in the Financial Brand? That's how I always get. And just as a point of just interest, the thing he had last year about the supposed value of social media was the first news article I have printed out on a printer since 2002. So it's a great publication. You can find it at thefinancialbrand.com. And it's just Troy and I talking about Susie Orman and the NCUA. And Troy, you heard Sarah talk a little bit about this. I just want to ask you, because obviously I'm not a credit union employee, and when I was, I certainly wasn't an executive who was making so much money that it might offend somebody. And I'm not saying you are either. What is your take on this?
I definitely am. It's a point of irritation because you know, it's like, let's try to put a Band-Aid on a gaping hole that was created by others', you know, greed in the financial services industry. And what are we going to do? Let's pick on credit unions, the smallest percentage of the whole thing. I mean, let's face it, the folks in our industry do not make near the money that can be made in our counterparts in the commercial banking world. And yet we're the ones that, you know, let's monitor our expenses. I have yet to see a CEO of one of our credit unions being paid $17 million in a payout. Give me a break, and you're going to monitor what we do? No, that's ridiculous.
I more and more, I'm just becoming so aggravated with the whole organization. You know, I speak to good credit unions who all share me their experiences with the NCUA and their examiners with a great deal of frustration, and I'm sure that's probably nothing new. Nobody ever likes the examiners coming in, and it takes time away from running your business. But it's little things like this. To me, they're bugging the wrong credit unions. And you know, it would have been nice when the NCUA had an employee working at Westcor and Southwest Business Corporate when all those big entities went under. I think they might have minded that situation a little closer than worrying about what somebody's earning as the president of a credit union or the COO or the CFO of a credit union. More and more, I don't like tyranny. I'm an American, and so are you. I'm a Texan. I don't like people telling me what I can and can't do. And if by some miracle I find myself someday the president of a big credit union somewhere, I don't want some knucklehead from Alexandria, Virginia, telling me what I can and can't make.
Well, right. I mean, I think it goes against the whole free enterprise concept. And I don't necessarily think that we need to, you know, it isn't so much like controlling even though I was talking about the you know, the banks and the other financial institutions and what they make, like, yes, control them, but don't control us, I'm actually just saying, more importantly, I don't think we need to control anyone in that regard from a free enterprise perspective. And the problem is that we have decided to regulate the wrong kinds of stuff. I mean, when you look at the interchange regulation to start to regulate how much money can be made, I mean, come on. I mean, I feel like I want to knock some heads up out of the wall and go, do you know what this is leading toward? If you are going to look at peripheral items that are occurring, that happen on the side, and then they start to move closer into the front, this is something we're falling over top of. But the control that is being placed governmentally on what we do each and every day, on everything, all these decisions, healthcare reform, now what money can be earned in this environment, what this, I mean, it is changing this free democratic environment that we have to something different. And we're missing the clues by not paying attention to how it's being eroded away by all these little tiny decisions each and every time.
Totally. You know, this is why we can't have point counterpoint at NCUA. You and I agree on all of that. But as a protest, I just thought of something. As a protest to this whole idea, even though it may not be de facto or de jure law in our world, to kind of stick it to the NCUA, I've made a huge executive decision here at the Radio Free Credit Union program that I'm going to start paying you a salary every Friday when you're on the show. So I have this shot glass with some change in it. Let me see.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
you're
there
gonna, yeah, you're going to clear about 87 cents this week.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Take that, NCUA. Hey, listen,
yeah,
let's
right.
take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about a couple other things. We'll be right back after this. All right. You're back on the Radio Free Credit Union show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, where the talk is hot and the hosts are handsome again, as Troy Hall returns to the Radio Free air, is our wonderful co-host. Okay, something else I've been thinking about. And people that I like use this term, and every time I hear it, I've been speaking for 10 years and I never use cliches. I've spoken for 10 years, I've never said out of the box, I've never said any of that stuff, but I'm going to use one here. The old cliche about fingernails on the chalkboard.
Yes.
When I hear people say the credit union movement, this to me is the silliest thing, because words mean things and words guide how we feel about things and words impact. I would much rather people use the term marketplace, because that is what it is. We are all in a very, very ultra competitive, ultra regulated marketplace. And if movement can somehow be described as big, gigantic credit unions getting bigger, smaller credit unions getting squeezed out, the NCUA selling off assets to their favorite credit unions, giving them unfair advantages in geographical areas all over the country, to me, that's not a movement, Troy. It's just the reality of our marketplace. What are your thoughts on that?
Unfortunately, you're right. This would not be a point counterpoint, because I agree with you. And it's really not a movement. It's more of a stalling. So it would be an opportunity to probably rename it in a way that might revitalize it. And I think, you know, talk about credit union marketplace is not a bad idea.
Well, to me, I'm going to try my best. You know, I don't use the term, but I'm going to try my best to get as many people as possible. The other thing I was thinking about was the crashers. I would like them to go up there and do something this year. They were very polite. Like, they need to get up there and ruffle some feathers this year. Otherwise, what's the point of going up there?
Right. We'll be the old and instigators, and we'll let them be the young and crashers. How's that?
Yeah. Well, we're not old. We're two very trim, fit, handsome guys. We're seasoned. We're
seasoned.
Experienced.
Oh, okay. We're seasoned. Okay.
Hey, just as a quick aside, again, teachable moment. It just kind of occurred to me last night that it was 20 years ago. I can't believe it. 20 years ago today, that we were in the middle of the ground war, the 100-hour war, during the first Gulf War. And as a young kid from San Antonio, Texas, I got to witness the combined might of freedom-loving people out in the western Iraqi desert. And maybe next week we have some time, I'll share some of my observations from that experience, which I think might have some relatability to what we do here every week. This week, 20 years ago, I would see one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life and experience one of the best things I've ever experienced. And maybe we can chat about that next week. On the show next week, Troy, Sarah would not tell us who the winners were, but guess what? We're going to have one of them on the show. And guess what?
What?
I know who it is, but I'm not going to tell you.
Ooh, okay.
So if you're listening and you want to hear from somebody who is the best at what they do, join us next week on the Radio Free Credit Union show where the talk is hot and the hosts are handsome. Troy, it was an absolute joy to have you back. I wish you a speedy recovery on everything that's going on there. I told Christina Ricotta that you and I were both suffering from the ravages of the common flu, and would you please email us some chicken noodle soup? And sure enough, I've got a picture here of some chicken noodle soup. So
she did. I consumed mine in between some of the breaks.
She's awesome, isn't she?
Yeah, she's awesome. I love her to death. That's great.
Christina, you couldn't have got me the kind with the little stars in it, though?
I couldn't find it.
Oh, well, that's my favorite kind. I used to like to drink all the broth and then have, like, you know, that big spoonful of stars at the very, very end. But I do appreciate it, and I hope you have a great week out there in North Carolina.
You too.
Right. Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Troy, I look forward to our conversation on all this stuff continuing. Again, audience, thank you so much. Our audience is growing. Our show is expanding. And once again, Troy, it was great, great, great having you back.
Yep. Have a good week.
All right, everybody. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Same place, same faces. Next Friday, 12 o'clock noon Eastern Time. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Have a great week.